May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So this story from John is a long story in John. It actually goes on for about 6 weeks that we read in the Gospel of John. And as I said, we had the story of the feeding of the 5,000, how they were fed. The miracle of the feeding with a little boy sharing and all the food with baskets full of leftovers. And then right after that, we have the story of Jesus walking on water to the disciples. And then we move into boats. There's always boats in these stories in John. Lots of boats going places across lakes. So hear this again and picture yourself around a lake. The next day, the crowd that was left behind realized that there had been only one boat and that Jesus had not gotten into it with his disciples. They had not seen them go off without him. But now boats from Tiberias had pulled up near to where they had eaten by the bread that had been blessed by the master. So when the crowd realized he was gone and wasn't coming back, they piled into the Tiberias boats and they headed to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him, back across the sea, back and forth across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, teacher, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "You've come looking for me not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you. I filled your stomachs for free. Don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Work for the food that sticks with you, food that nourishes your lasting life, food the Son of Man provides. He and what he does are guaranteed by God to last." To that they said, "Well, what do we do then to get into God's works?" And Jesus said, "Throw your lot in with the one that God has sent. That commits you that you get into God's work." They waffled. "Why don't you give us a clue? Why don't you give us a clue about who you are? Just a hint of what's going on. Can you hear it? Just give me a clue of what's going on. Then when we see what's up, we'll commit ourselves. Show us what you do. Moses fed our ancestors, you know, with bread on the desert. It says so in the scriptures. He gave them bread from heaven." And Jesus answered, "The real significance of this scripture is not that Moses gave you bread from heaven, but that my Father is right now offering you bread from heaven. The real bread, the bread of God that came down out of heaven and is giving life to the world." Of course, they jumped up and they responded, "Master, give us this bread now and forever." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more and thirsts no more ever." Can you picture it? There's all these people, and they saw Jesus on the hillside, and then all of a sudden he's not there anymore, and they can't find him, so they get on these boats and they go back and forth and back and forth across the lake looking for Jesus. And then when they get to Jesus, what do they find out? Oh, he says, "Oh, you came to find me because I fed you for free. I gave you all this food and we had leftovers, and now you want me to give you more food." And so then they think, okay, you're right, that's what we did. So we're going to now tell the story from Scripture. You know, the bread, the manna came down, and it was there, and we picked it up and we ate it. So Moses gave us bread. And again, Jesus says, no, you're still not quite right there. It came down from heaven. God gave you the bread. I am the bread of life. Yes, we need bread to fill our stomachs. We need bread when we are hungry. But I am the bread of life. I will fill you always. Can you picture it? So really what we want to talk about today is, what is the bread of life? Well, it has to do with sacraments. So today, in a little while, we're going to celebrate communion. We're going to celebrate the bread of life given for us. Now, the little piece of bread is not going to be enough to fill your stomachs, but it is going to be enough to fill your entire souls. The bread of life that Jesus gives us, the bread of hope, the bread of love, the bread that fills us. Not the kind of breads that I showed the pictures of to the children, which those are good breads, but it's the bread of life, Jesus, that is going to fill our beings, our very souls. That's the bread of life. But it's not just communion that's the bread of life. It's also baptism that is part of the bread of life. We are baptized into the faith and the family of Jesus Christ. We are named and claimed by God. The bread of life, the sacraments of who we are as people of God and how we live into them. Just because they happened doesn't mean that we are living into the bread of life. It means that we are opening ourselves up to share God's love with all and to live differently because of it. So let me tell you a couple stories. Little Evelyn was at great-granddad's calling hours, and she asked Katie and Keely, and she said, "Who's God?" Well, since they were right there and they saw me, they brought her over to me. Who's God? Now, that's a question that many of us can ask. And many of us are looking for different answers. For Evelyn was looking for, who is God? What makes a difference for her of who this God is? So I need your hands. Take your hands. Put them in front of you. Now blow on them. Do you feel it? That's God. To a four-year-old, that made a difference. That's God. God is all around us. So then it began, well, can I smell God? Well, yes, we can smell God. The flowers, the people around us. Who is God? That was a bread of life moment. Jesus was part of that moment. I am the bread of life. Now, your question of who is God might not be as simply answered as feeling God's spirit, God's breath upon us. But I am the bread of life, and those are moments that show us God's beings around us. Another story. This one was from a colleague of mine, a friend of mine who I just met not too long ago. His name's Brian. He's a pastor over in the Dayton area. And Brian has cancer and has been struggling with cancer for quite some time, but he's the pastor of a large church. He goes for treatments, I think it's every week, maybe every other week. But one of the things that he wrote to me was, he said, I know that you're no longer on the annual planning gathering committee for the annual gathering in September. But is it possible that we might be able to have a healing prayer service as part of the prayers at the annual gathering? It would be really important for me, Brian, to feel the prayers for healing for this cancer that I struggle with. And it would be really healing for all those who struggle, not just with physical illnesses, but with all kinds of illnesses. So I took what he asked me, and I took it to the annual planning gathering committee, since I know who was on that. And the reply was, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. That was an I am the bread of life moment. When we open ourselves up to feel that bread of life, we know that we are going to be changed. To me, I had never thought about it. But for Brian, it was an important part of who he is for the healing of God's power and love. Another story, Matthew, who's going to preach for us next week and the week after. Matthew and I were having a conversation this week. We were having this conversation about, oh, what are next steps in my life? What am I, you know, you kind of get, sometimes you get to this middle age thing and you're not sure if what you're doing is exactly what you should be doing. Or is God kind of putting some other things in our hearts and our minds? So Matthew and I were talking, and he's sharing with me all these different kinds of thoughts that are part of his mind right now. His wife is retired. Well, should he retire? But no, not really, because she's 10 years older. She's getting Social Security. He couldn't get Social. So all these conversations are happening. And as we're talking, there was this bread of life moment that happened. All of a sudden, he stops speaking and he says, "Ah." I'm like, okay, what happened? I don't know. I was just sitting here listening. It was a bread of life moment because he needed someone to just repeat back to him of what he was saying. Kind of a mentoring moment. I am the bread of life. It wasn't bread that we put in our mouth and eat, but it's bread that fills our soul. And then another story. This one's about Jeff and Carolyn. Jeff was our camp manager who died suddenly about a month ago. And a week ago, we had a memorial service at Temple Hills for Jeff. As we talked and told stories from many different aged folks who gathered around to celebrate his life, there was one story that stood out for me because it was in every story that I was hearing. It was, Jeff didn't go to school to be a pastor. Jeff went to school to be an artist. Now, how was he using his art at a camp setting where there's maintenance that needs to happen, where you need to greet people, where you need to make sure that this group is being fed over here and this group has the right number of beds in the cabins? And each story that I heard about him and that I know about him had to do with the bread of life, because his soul was filled with God, with the love of Jesus. He could greet and know people's names that he'd met 25, 30 years ago and meet them again and call them by name and show that hospitality of what it means to be a follower, a lover of God. See, each one of these stories have to do with different parts of the bread of life. How are you living this bread of life? It's different for all of us. But it's not about the bread that the people wanted because they'd been fed already for free. This is about the bread that fills our very beings. How each day are you living and knowing that the bread of life fills you. Because if you are living each day as the bread of life fills you, you live differently each day. As you come forward in just a little bit, I would encourage you to really open yourselves up to feel the bread of life coming into you and changing you this day. Thanks be to God. Amen.